This is an Our Savior Evangelical Free Church podcast. To learn more, visit osefc.org.
It's a pleasure to be here with you guys once more again and sharing God's word with you. For those that don't know me, my name is Freddie, and I serve here as a pastoral residency. I read a story recently about a woman's neighbor who was really sick, and he lived alone. He didn't ask for help. He didn't call anybody. But this woman noticed something. And she didn't wait for something to happen. She brought him groceries. She shoveled his driveway in the winter. She checked on him every night. And her actions said it loud and clear. It made me think, what does real love look like? Is it just something we feel like butterflies inside of us? Or is it good vibes? Or is it just saying, I love you, bro. I love you, sis. Or is it just saying, I'm praying for you? Or is it something we do, especially when no one's watching? We hear the word love everywhere. On social media, in movies, people saying it to someone, or even in the radio. But the word often calls love is really just a self-interest or a temporary feeling. In today's passage, I'll be addressing 5 points in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 18. And I'll be using the ESV Bible translation for that. Real Christian love isn't just talk. It shows up in action. John is writing to a group of Christians who were struggling with what really meant to live like Jesus. He doesn't tell them to love by just saying hi to one another or being polite. He says love is proven by its action. Especially when we help others, serve others, or give up something for someone in need. John knew what real love looked like. He walked with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this passage, he shows us that real Christian love is not comfortable or easy, but it is powerful. It is not just about feeling, it's about doing. I label this sermon, Love in Action. Let's read it together. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some in front of you in the pews. Feel free to take one, and please follow along. But before we do that, please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, as we open up your word today, quiet our hearts and speak to us. Too often we settle for love that is easy or self-serving, but Jesus, you showed us real love by laying down your life for us. Help us love like you, encourage, sacrifice, and action. Teach us today not just to say I love you, but to live it. I pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Once again, I'll be in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 18. For this is the message that you have heard in the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brothers is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed, in the truth. My first point, from day one, it's been about love. Verse 11. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The Apostle John is reminding them and us of the first lesson of following Jesus, love one another. This message, love one another, has been a part of the gospel from the very beginning. It is the heartbeat of everything Jesus has taught. And John, who walked closely with Jesus, heard it straight from him. Jesus said it clearly in John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people we know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John is also reminding us here that this isn't new. This message was from the very beginning. What I'm noticing is that John is saying a lot the word in the beginning multiple times in his writings. We see it in Genesis chapter 1, the very first beginning of the Bible. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning. We also see it in the Gospel of John, where it starts in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. And now we're seeing it in 1 John chapter 3. John repeatedly says, in the beginning, to connect Jesus to God, to the Creator, as the Creator. Let me ask you, how will people know we follow Jesus? Well, first, let me tell you that why it's not. How well we sing and worship songs, how much we give to charities, how many Bible verses we might memorize, or how often we go to church. All those things are good, don't get me wrong. But Jesus says the real test is love. The clearest proof of our faith is how we treat people. Can people tell that you are a follower of Jesus Christ by the way you treat people? Not just the people we like, but our classmates, our coworkers, our family members, the persons we cut off in traffic, or the one who annoys us at school. This kind of love isn't soft or vague. It's a choice, a command, a lifestyle. Think about this. If someone followed you around for a week and watched you, how you treated others, would they be able to tell that you're a follower of Christ? Or think about social media. If someone only saw your comments, your tone, your posts, would they see love? Would they see Jesus? Or would they see the world? You might ask, why does this matter? Well, the early church didn't grow because they had impressive buildings, social media, or posted events. They grew because people saw their love in action. They took care of the sick. They shared their food. They forgave each other. And the world noticed. Now, that's the amazing thing. They did not see them. They saw Christ through them. We have the same mission today, guys. My second point. Don't be like Cain. Love is the opposite of hate. And we see that in verse 12 and 13. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. In verse 12 and 13, John says we shouldn't be like Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. Let's talk about that story in a few minutes. It's from Genesis 4, all the way back from the beginning. One of the first stories in the Bible. Abel gave his best. He gave it from his heart. On the other hand, Cain gave something too. But it wasn't his best. And his heart wasn't in the right place. God accepted Abel's gift, but not Cain's. Instead of learning from this and trying to do better, Cain got jealous. The jealousy turned into anger, then into hate, and finally into murder, which he ended up killing his own brother. The jealousy turned into anger, but Jesus said, hate, bitterness, and angry in our hearts are the seeds of it, and that's where it all starts from. Cain didn't just start with murder. He started with envy. Why does John bring this up, this old story in the Testament? Because he shows us what happens when love is missing. Hate doesn't always show up in violence at first. It usually starts small. When we compare ourselves to others, get jealous, or even when we hold grudges and refuse to forgive one another. Those feelings can grow in our hearts if we are not careful. John says in verse 13, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. He is saying that when we live like Jesus, loving others, showing kindness, standing for truth, not everyone will like it. But here's the important part, brothers and sisters and friends. When people treat us badly, we don't treat badly back. We do not return hate more than it was given to us. We respond with love, with forgiveness, grace, just like Jesus did. Here's a real example. In 2015, a man walked into church in Charleston, South Carolina, during a Bible study. But what shocked the world was what happened after. Some of the victims' families, when they spoke out in court, instead of shouting hate, they said something amazing. I forgive you. Now, that is really hard to say and do. Imagine one of your family members, or if you're a parent, a child that was murdered. Just like what we heard in the prayer in Texas right now. Kids are missing. That's the kind of love can only come from knowing Jesus is forgiven. So here's something to think about. Is there something you are holding a grudge on someone today? Or are you jealous of someone else's success or attention? Or are you letting comparison steal your joy? Ask God to help you let go of that bitterness, if that's you today. Love and hate cannot live in the same heart today. So how do you want your heart to be? That's something to think about. Point number 3. Love is proof that you really belong to Jesus, and we see that in verse 14 and 15. We know that we have passed on to death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that the that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Loving others is a sign that something in you has truly changed. If you hate people or are cold, bitter, or selfish at that time, John says, this is a big red warning sign. Whoever does not love abides in death. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 21, 22, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Hate just doesn't live in prison. It lives in homes. It lives in churches. And in our hearts. Is there someone you are bitter towards right now? Is there someone you need to forgive? Love proves to belong to Jesus. Hate shows something is broken. Point number four. Jesus shows us what real love looks like. And we see that in verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We do not have to guess what love looks like. We do not have to make it up or follow what the world says. If you ever wonder what real love is, let's look at the cross. Jesus did not just say, I love you. He showed it by giving everything to us. He suffered. He was betrayed. He was mocked, beaten, and crucified for you and me on that rugged cross, that which we did not deserve. And he did it willingly. Why? Not because we deserve it, but because that is what love does. Jesus gave up his life for us. That is the highest form of love, of sacrificial love. And John says we are called to do the same. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, that does not always mean dying. Even though on the part of the world, Christians risk their lives and faith to die for others. But it does mean living a life that puts others first. Laying down your life can look like giving up your free time to help a friend who is struggling, staying late to listen to someone just because they need a friend to talk to, forgiving someone who hurt you even when it's hard, sharing your resources with someone who has less even when it's inconvenient, saying no to your own comfort so that we can say yes to someone else's needs. Think about a parent who stays up late with a sick child, not because they feel like it, but because they love them. Or a student who notices someone sitting alone and chooses to sit with them, risking their own reputation. Or a church member who uses their own only day off to serve meals, to wake up early to come to church and help set up, or do things on their own kind heart to serve. Now that's real love. That's Jesus' love, the love that costs something. And here is the key. We do not love like this to earn God's approval. We love like this because we have already been saved and we have been loved. because Jesus laid down his life for you and me, we can now lay down our lives for others. What is one thing God might be asking you to lay down your life for today? Is it your time? Is it your comfort? Money? Or your preferences so you can show real love to someone else's? Maybe it's reaching out to someone who feels left out. Maybe it's giving when it's inconvenient. Maybe it's simply showing up, slowing down enough to notice someone else's need. Real love acts. Real love sacrifices. Real love looks like Jesus. Point number 5. Love means helping people in need. Verse 17 and 18. Let's look at again what John says in these two verses. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in words or talk, but in deed and in truth. John is being vague here. He's being very direct. He says if we see someone in need and we have what it takes to help, but we close our hearts and do nothing, then God's love is not truly living in us. That is a bold statement. And it cuts deep because many of us have been there. We see someone struggling, a friend going through a financial stress, a single parent who is overwhelmed, a family at church who cannot afford groceries. And we say things like, I'll pray for you. Hope things get better for you. That's tough. I'll be thinking of you. Now, prayer is important. Don't get me wrong. But encouragement is valuable. But if that's all we do when we have the means to help, John says, that's not love. Love moves. Love respects. Love takes action. John says, let us love in word or talk, but in deed, in truth. In other words, love is not just something we say, it's something we do. We live in the world where it's easy to talk about love, but much harder to live it out. We post about caring for others, but we practice it. Do we practice it in our daily lives? Do we notice the people right around us who are hurting? I'll give you some examples of love in action. Giving up a part of your paycheck to buy groceries for a struggling family. Taking some time off your week to help someone move or fix something. Sitting with someone who is grieving or going through a depression and just being present. Choosing to be generous even when it's inconvenient or unnoticed. What does closing your heart look like today? Is it when we pretend we didn't see the need? Tell others someone else will help? Say, I'm too busy, or it's not my problem, or let the fear of comfort keep us from stepping in. But the love of Jesus did not shut down when things got uncomfortable. It opened, and even when it was costly. I challenge you this week, who is in need around you that you might know of? Who has God placed you in your life that might need more than kind words, maybe your time, your help, or your generosity. It might be a neighbor who's always alone, a teenager who needs a mentor, a friend that might just need someone to listen to them, a classmate who is being bullied or left out, a coworker who is drowning in stress. Excuse me, people. Forgive me once more again. Now, that is real love, guys. In other words, love is not just something we say, something we do. We live in a world that is easy to talk about love, but much harder to live it out. Faith becomes real when love moves from talk to action. Now, meaning Jesus is calling us to do the same today. What is one step that takes this week to love someone in action and not just by words? Excuse me. Jesus did not just talk about love. He laid down his life for us, for you, for me, and for the whole world. And John says that this is truly following him. Our love has to show up in real ways too. So here are three questions to pray about and reflect on. One, who in your life needs to love, who needs love in action right now? Not just by kind words, but real help, real time, real presence. Is it a family member going through a hard time? A neighbor who is lonely? A classmate, coworker, friend who is being struggling silently? Ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone in mind to you. You might already know who it is. Number two, are you holding back love from someone because they hurt you or you're angry of? Sometimes the hardest people we love are the ones that have hurt us. But part of loving like Jesus, meaning forgiving, even when it's not fair or easy, is it someone you have been avoiding? Someone you have written off? Maybe today God is asking you to take that first step toward them through a message, a conversation, a phone call, writing a letter to them, or a prayer of forgiveness. It's not easy, but you can do it. I believe in you. Number three, what can you do this week to show love in real, practical ways? It does not have to be big, just one meal, one ride, one text, one visit, one small gift, one encouraging note. Sometimes the smallest things of act of love makes the biggest difference. No matter your age or stage, student, parent, coworker, or a worker who is somebody who's retired, Look for the one person God is placing you in your path this week. If you are working, maybe it's helping a stressful coworker who is bringing lunch or someone in need. If you're a parent, maybe taking a break from your own busy routine to really listen to your child or spouse. If you're retired, maybe it's calling someone who feels forgotten. Here is my challenge for you all this week. Pick one person and do one thing to love like Jesus. Don't overthink it. Just start by doing it. Ask God today, who needs your love, meaning Christ, through you. And when he shows you, go do something about it. Don't wait. Brothers and sisters and friends, let us be the church that does not just say we love people. Let us be the church that proves it by our actions. This week, go out and live a life that is real, active, and sacrificial. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for showing us what real love looks like through your Son, Jesus, who laid down his life for us. Thank you for loving us even when we are undeserving, broken, and far from you. Your love is patient, kind, and never failing. We are so grateful. Lord, we confess that sometimes we talk about love more than we live it. We get busy, distracted, or focused on ourselves. Forgive us for the times we have closed our hearts to someone in need. For the moment we have walked past a hurting friend. For the people we have struggled to forgive. Open our eyes to help the people around us who are hurting. Open our hearts to love like you love us. Show us who needs our time, our kindness, our compassion this week. Give us the courage to act when it is hard, inconvenient, uncomfortable. Teach us to love in action and in truth, not just with words. Make us more like Jesus. Humble us, selfless, and full of grace. Holy Spirit, lead us this week. Fill us up with your power and your love. Help us to see the opportunities you are putting right in front of us. Let us be known as the people who love well, because you have loved deeply. We have been loved deeply by you. Let our love not be talk, but truth. Not just by words, but by action. We commit to love one person this week with real love, Jesus-like love. Use that simple act to shine your light and bring hope to those who are broken, hurt, and lost. We pray this all in your precious, beautiful, mighty name, the one who loved us first, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen.
Our Savior is a congregation located in Wheeling, Illinois. Our vision can be summed up in four words: building community, bringing Christ. To learn more about this vision and our hope for our neighborhood, visit us online at osefc.org.